Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdrastuytse. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Grand Rising, and let me remind you of this important day of Monday morning mindfulness with Zelda Speaks.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
I'm Naima Latif, sitting in for a moment for our host Zelda Speaks as she prepares to bring us live at the 8 o'clock Central Time hour of a very powerful address by philanthropist and candidate for mayor of the city of Chicago, Willie Wilson. There have been a rash of all kinds of acts of violence on public transportation here in Chicago and in cities across the nation. But here, Dr. Willie Wilson has made it his business to address the despair of the people and seek to find ways to alleviate the pain and the fear. There's a perception that black people are more violent than everyone else, for various reasons, but the fear that it creates has had an impact on every industry. It has had an impact on business, on education, on everything, because people are afraid of young people who seem to have lost their minds and have gotten so out of control. But there's a reason that these things happen. There is a reason why there is so much pain, and we have to take a look at it. And when we talk about what happened, it isn't a matter of placing blame, but it's a matter of acknowledging that things have been done to people that hurt them so deeply and left them so deeply traumatized that they are now acting out of that trauma that continues because the society continues to create painful conditions for them. So when we look at the inherent racism in a nation founded on racial injustice and cruelty for the purpose of profit, this isn't blaming, this isn't reverse racism, this isn't hate speech. It's a critical analysis of why we are where we are so that we can come up with a strategy to undo the damage. Critical race theory. Well, today our regular first Monday guest, Lionel Abdul-Haq, joins us to discuss critical race theory and the fact that teaching the true history of what happened in the schools could possibly heal the hurt and help with the process of healing by helping us to choose to stop creating these conditions. But we do need to understand what it is and why there are so many people who are opposed to it. What do they fear is going to be revealed if we simply tell the truth? So let's welcome to our show this morning our dear brother Lionel Abdul-Haq. Grand rising and peace be upon you. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you so much for joining us this Monday morning, May 2nd, on The Female Solution.
Thank you. Thank you. Glad to be here once again. Peace be with you and blessed Ramadan, Ramadan Mubarak to the believers who fasted this month. And we want to, in anticipation of this weekend's Mother's Day, send out a greeting of Mother's Day, blessed Mother's Day for all of the people who are regular listeners and who get the word through them. Blessed Mother's Day. And we got Memorial Day coming up, too, in this month. So we want to make a statement with regard to that as well. Thank you, Sister Naima. I appreciate you, what you do with your production, your work there, and glad to be able to contribute and make some contribution to that.
Yes, well, it is definitely a commitment to transformation of the human family. And we can only do that when we have the right information. And we can only do that when we have the will to make things right. So we appreciate you as a great historian coming on and giving us some insight that many people may not have heard. They may not have learned certain things in school because schools are basically centers for propaganda, indoctrination. And so many people do not hear the reality of what occurred. You know, you mentioned Mother's Day, and Mother's Day is one of those things that evolved out of tragedy, the tragedy of the Civil War when women saw their sons being murdered and killed, and often by family members, because you had some families, some lived in the North, some lived in the South. So when the two sides went to battle, you had people killing their relatives, literally And so when mothers came to recover the bodies after the war, there was a realization that this should not ever happen again. And so for the sake of mothers not wanting to lose their sons in bloody, senseless battles and killings, Mother's Day was created by women to honor those who had lost their sons and remind us that we need not ever kill each other over our differences again. And then, of course, you mentioned Memorial Day and a memorial to those who died in war. Once again, killing in order to settle differences. So, Lionel, what have we learned, or what should we have learned after all of these experiences in wartime and the devastation of war and the loss of life and the emotional trauma and the continuous PTSD that people are still living with these urban wars? What should we have learned from this experience that would make us better people?
Well, there's an old saying that he who fails to study and learn the lessons of history are doomed to repeat them. And that's exactly what's happening. People forget. People get so wrapped up in having fun that they, they don't pay attention. I think it was Dwight D. Eisenhower, former president, who said that if we don't, he warned the American people before he left office that there's a looming threat of takeover of the American government, the threat coming from the alliance of the military, the capitalists, and the politicians making deals that will advance their interests over and above the interests of the American people. And most wars have done just that, and the American people have been misled, bamboozled, run amok, and led astray into getting involved in conflicts that they thought were about one thing, like weapons of mass destruction, for example, and it turned out not to be the case. But you didn't find that out until later, much later, after the war has been started, millions of people have been killed and displaced, and then you find out that the information wasn't correct. So we in a bad state, and since I've been on the air with you guys, I've been trying to beat the drum that we've been bamboozled, run amok, and led astray, and we've been dumbed down to the point where we think like little children at best. But in many cases, as you mentioned, people are resorting to levels of behavior that are reflective of brute beast. And this is where we are, and I don't think it's an accident that we're here. But hope springs eternal. In the fact that there's always an opportunity for people to repent, to change, to make a sincere commitment, a sincere appeal to our Creator to help us out of this situation, and then be willing to do what we have to do to make the change.
Now, we had a guest on a show last week, and I was listening to their analysis, and they were expressing the thought that African-American people commit more crimes than others and tend to be more violent than others, that's the perception that many have based on the fact that there's a disproportionate number of African Americans in prison. And when you watch the news, you are constantly being given the images of African-American people as the perpetuators of crime. And that gives the general population the impression that black people are to be feared because of an inherent violent nature. And of course, this is the propaganda that was used to justify the enslavement and continued repression. You know, the idea, oh, these people are violent, you know, they're uncivilized.
They're not human.
We must repress them. So how do we address, number one, the lie that many have been taught to perpetuate about themselves even? And how do we help those who really don't understand the cause and effect of violence? You know, violence begets violence. You put people in violent circumstances, you know, economic violence, political violence, you know, the level of desperation for just basic survival, you know, turns people to acts of desperation. How do we explain what has happened without sounding like we're making excuses for bad behavior?
Well, you know, it begins with being sincere and sincerely wanting to solve the problem. And the lack of a genuine effort on the part of the powers that be, those who supposedly are working in the best interest of the American people. And this is actually a global problem. It's not just in America, but America has a very unique history with this situation. And since we're here, we need to talk about where we can make a difference here. It's important for us to understand the root causes of slavery have less to do with the lack or amount of humanity that's in any one people. It is the lack of humanity that we tend to want to escape our humanity as a whole in terms of our indoctrination, our spiritual indoctrination that is deeply rooted in the history of the Western society going all the way back to Greece. And it relates also to the response that the Greeks had to the overwhelming realization of what was going on in Kemet that threatened their whole idea of civilization and made them feel that it was necessary for them to conquer. To destroy and to hide the reality of what was going on in Kemet from the people of Europe until they can gain mastery and dominance over it and claim it for themselves. And use that as a catalyst to exalt their superiority and authority over other Europeans and claim themselves to be the white slave masters of the world. And through that philosophy that has gone back for thousands of years, at least 3,000-4,000 years, we have had a continual, perpetual process of rise and fall of nations based upon what these powerful people who gained power through the conquest of Kemet, much more power than their people realized, and they began to they began to incorporate what they understood about Kemet into their way of life and their authority. So the gods that came out of Greek mythology were not mythology at the time that they were established. This was religion. And the idea of Hercules being the son of God in the Greek tradition, religious tradition, was based on the history that they stole from the Kemetic people, the ancient Egyptian people, about Haru, Asar, and Aset. And once they started hiding, once they started covering up, it became a standard operating procedure to keep it covered up and to continue to conceal the roots of these political and social ideals, religious ideals, that were being imposed on the people. And the people accepted them because they had had some idea that they had existed prior and that they exalted the European, so-called white people, as being close or kinship to the divine. And, you know, of course, everybody likes to be flattered. Everybody likes to see themselves in a good light. So it's not hard to get people to accept their idea, an idea that puts them at the top of the heap. And so that's what has been the problem. And getting the problem with that they have with critical race theory, what they call critical race theory, is really critical thinking and a critical examination of the roots of our history so that we can correct these problems and they don't happen again. The only way you're going to solve these problems is to understand them in their root. And this is not where they want to go because it's dangerous. It puts them in such an embarrassing, shameful, humiliating. It puts them in such a inhuman light that they don't see how their children can ever rise above it. They don't see how the details, the reality of slavery and the history of slavery going back before we were even brought here, how deep it goes is a very, very hard thing for people to face. And they'd rather continue to kill. They'd rather continue to hide. They'd rather continue to cover up that reality than to have their children exposed to who they really were and what they have really done in the name of imperialism, the idea of being better than somebody else to the point where you can dominate them and be justified in doing so.
So that has been one of the critical elements of American education, teaching that the imperialism of the West was a good thing and that they actually brought higher civilization to backward people and all of that. So being able to redefine those acts of brutality for what they were, acts of brutality, mass murder,
terrorism,
cruelty, imperialism, you know, changing the language then removes people who put themselves in a position as heroes and shows it for the barbaric nature that it was. Now, I believe that you can describe what someone did without labeling that person as inherently bad, just misguided. And I think that telling what happened doesn't label any particular race of people as lesser evolved or lesser worthy of respect or lesser human, whatever the case may be. I don't think it condemns people, but it does help us analyze what behaviors are not desirable and should no longer be allowed, should no longer be encouraged, should no longer be enacted upon. You know, if we're going to evolve as a human family, we have to admit that there were moments in our history, in our behavior, that we treated each other badly. And it's not just one group who did it. Everybody did it at some point in their evolution. Everybody mistreated somebody. So we have to admit that it was mistreatment and not call it something that sounds good, and it sounds powerful, that sounds admirable. We have to call it for what it is and say, this is where we were in our evolution as a human species. We don't ever want to go there again because it's ugly. So why is there a problem with people admitting that something they did was ugly? Why is that? Why are people resisting saying, you know, this was bad that we did, we shouldn't do it again? Why is there resistance to that?
Because they want to keep getting the same kind of profit. They want to continue to gain. They want to continue to build on the lies that were told, because it's continuing to feed their ego, their self-esteem, and give their children something that they could be proud of their foreparents did to establish the lifestyle, the superior lifestyle. But it's a very vain, I say superior only in the sense that it's superior to what everybody else has got, but it's really very vain, and it really works to maintain and undermine the level of barbarism and savagery that has existed and will continue to exist, because woven within the lies about history are ideas that glorify the behavior of those who perpetrated these wars and conflicts and dehumanization of other races. The idea of God being a man is at the root of the problem. And when you say that God is a man, then the man that you make God's image in is the one that is responsible for perpetuating or controlling and dominating the rest of the world. It's their responsibility. If they are the God people, they have a responsibility to bring the rest of the people under their authority that they got from God. So this is where we have to go in terms of understanding and eradicating these problems. God has the authority to take life and to make judgments about what is right and what is wrong. So if you are God's chosen people, if you are God's, if you are closer to God because God chose you as the embodiment of the Savior of the world, then that's the image that you project to people. And that makes them less than you. And as a consequence, if they don't want to accept being less than you, then you have to make them and to force them and then indoctrinate them to accept the same lies that you told yourself until they accept those lies as reality and start to live it. But the consequences is that it is a lie, and therefore it's not going to work. It's not going to produce the result, the consequences that you think it will. It will keep that same dominant idea that I'm supposed to be in charge, and therefore anybody else that's starting to rise up, they either have to do it with my permission, or I put themselves in a position where I can take them out of the competition. And that's what's been happening. The idea of having to face the reality of the history is greater than what most people can do. They can't bring themselves. They don't have that kind of intestinal fortitude and sincerity about justice to do that. They don't. The idea of God that they have is the one that perpetuates their behavior.
Well, I'm going to throw an idea out here. Because the internet has opened up knowledge that had before this era not been widely discussed or even allowed to be discussed. And we know even the history of religion, in particular the Christian religion, the history has been one in which by force people were told what to believe and tortured if they did not accept teachings that, as you have described, distort the idea of the creator of the universe being a puny human being, which in these times it becomes outrageous to even think that when we have space flight and satellites and a view of a whole universe, it becomes impossible once your mind has been expanded with a new vision of the reality of where you live, that you are on a very tiny planet way in the corner of the solar system, which is a part of many, many different systems. And now that we have seen space, we've seen the stars, the constellations, the other planets close up with photography. We've even had some level of space flight, and we've even had many, 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 many accounts of people who encountered beings who have traveled from other galaxies. Before, they called you crazy if you said that you saw a spaceship. Now there have been so many hundreds and thousands of people who've had those experiences. It's kind of obvious, even with the suppression of knowledge from NASA and everybody else, it's kind of obvious that we're not alone here. And the creator is not living on any particular planet. And the energy of creation is so vast and not embodied in a person. I mean, that reality is just so glaring. It becomes impossible to teach those old concepts to new minds coming into being in these times. And that's why.
Well, they're not entirely false, though. They're not entirely. In order to have a lie, you got to have some truth, and there is some truth to the idea that human beings have a very, very special place in this universal plan of the Creator. There's a great deal. The fact that we're the only one that we've been able to acknowledge or recognize or identify so far as other life forms in the universe that we have identified as being in communication with us on a regular, close basis. I mean, the UFOs and things of that nature, that's something that is not as tangible as the history and the reality of who human beings are on the planet in terms of our dominance, our relative superiority in terms of the role, the level of consciousness and intelligence and behavior that we have displayed in terms of being able to change our environment and so forth. Other creatures can't do that. They're locked into the natural law, and that's what they follow.
Pause on that thought for a moment. We got to take a break. And for those listening, we want you all to call in 515-605-9325. Press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we'll come right to you and get your thoughts. You're listening to Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks, and Zelda will be joining us at the 8 o'clock hour. She's on a special mission to hear directly from philanthropists and Chicago mayoral candidate, Dr. Willie Wilson, as he addresses violence on public transportation. He's riding the public transportation, the trains, and we'll be following them visually And you can go to the Female Solution on Facebook if you want to establish a visual tie with us right now. And, of course, we'll be on the Higher Learning Network at 8 a.m. And we want to understand what has happened to us culturally that produced this extreme wave of violence that we're seeing manifested in our young people. If we did something wrong, we got to figure out what we did and fix it. So we'll be right back after this quick break, and we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in just one moment, so stay with us.
Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speak. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Toussaint. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama Dee. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Hi, I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters.
We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes. We navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not you want to how do you teach your children about sex. Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Thank
you. Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their story to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
In to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn you into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host Kareem Hamid every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our host. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
Back, you're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. This is Monday Morning Mindfulness, and Zelda Speaks will be joining us at the 8 o'clock hour as she's live at the CTA, the Chicago Transit Authority, the public transportation where Dr. Willie Wilson is going to be addressing people on the trains and talking about what we can do to curb this rash of violence. Something has happened inside of our young people that has made them simply flip. And I believe they are simply experiencing the energy of change. This society we have created for them has been cruel and brutal and not affirming of their humanity, and they are rebelling. So in order for us to end what has happened and what is the correct response, we have to go back in our history and understand what brought us to this point. Well, one of the things that has been talked about is teaching critical race theory, which is an admission that there were things that happened that were incorrect, and the people who perpetrated those acts were in the wrong. And this admission, if we are honest, will help make us better human beings. But as long as we are not willing to admit mistakes, we will keep repeating them. So our Monday Morning Mindfulness guests on this first Monday of May, Lionel Abdul-Haq, has been taking a look at critical race theory and our place as human beings in this world. Now, Lionel, there's something that I'd like to throw out, an idea. You know, we as human beings, we like to believe that we have this great superiority. And we certainly have the potential to do great things with, you know, the appendages on our bodies. We can create, we can mold, we can use tools. But we have, as a human species, failed to do some basic things, such as operate as a collective in the ways you see creatures such as the beehive. The bees making beehives and creating honey. They make a product, and they do it cooperatively. We've seen ants work cooperatively. We've seen birds operate as one mind when they get up and fly as a flock. We've seen a cooperative nature in other species that we have not seen in human beings. And our
our intelligence has so often been used destructively? Is there something we in our human arrogance are missing and perhaps even learning from other species that have learned how to operate cooperatively and peacefully and in harmony with the planet upon which we live? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'll pray to do to the Most High. I think it's an issue, as we've articulated on a number of occasions, where people have willfully been misled, bamboozled, run amok, and led astray for the purpose of being exploited and dominated, and to put one group of people in an advantage situation of control and authority. And that authority is being associated with divine. Humanity, part of humanity is the recognition, the intelligent recognition of higher authority, of order, of a process in the works. When you see things happening a certain way, when you discover that there are systems that connect the planet, this planet, with the universe, that human beings had already charted and established, and you didn't know anything about it. You just come into it when you discover these people, that they have all this information, and it's so far advanced of where you are that you feel that you have to suppress these people. If your people, unless your, because to expose your people to these people would make your people want to follow them and not you. And that is power. The power dynamic comes into play. And people who, you know, they say that there's another old saying, I like to quote these old sayings, that power corrupts. And absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Yes.
So we are growing as a human society, and part of our growth is the experiences that we're going through. The free will, the level of free will that God, our Creator, gave humanity is a very important part of the dynamic of our passing through this stage of our development, where we have to submit. We have to submit to be guided. And we got ourselves in a situation that if we don't recognize that we need to change from where we were to something better, we're not going to make it. And it's obvious on a lot of different levels, not just race relations, but the human dynamic that we have identified is one that has made us alien to the planet itself, that even the birds and the bees are working against us because we've been working against the planet. And so change is imminent. We got to change. And it's very clear from the study of history, from the honest, sincere study of history, where the mistakes have been made. And it has a lot to do with our religious orientation, that what we've been taught about God has created devils in wolves in sheep's clothing who are doing the work of Satan in the name of God. And that's what we got to deal with. We've got to come to grips with that reality, that what we're following in the world today religiously as separate religions are really all part of the same movement of growth and development. Just certain ones have this piece and the other group have this piece. And until we come together and put those pieces together, we're not going to see the whole story. And being willing to change is based upon new evidence that we don't have the whole picture, and that it has been deliberately sabotage, so it'd be difficult for us to ever come together. But we have to do that. We have to be willing. We have to be humble. We have to throw off this vain idea that we are entitled to just mess over everything and everybody that we choose in the name of having fun and enjoying ourselves. Because that's how we've messed things up. We think we're privileged. We think we are entitled. We think we have no responsibility to do anything other than enjoy ourselves and have fun. And that has got to go. We've got to grow up. We've got to get real, as the young people say, and stop living this fantasy, Magic Kingdom, Three Stooges mentality. It ain't complicated. It really ain't. But it's difficult if the difficulty is recognizing, all you got to do is recognize what you're looking at. What you're looking at is a mess that has deep roots. It's like a house of cards that's starting, the wind and started to blow, and the house of cards is starting to shake because it has no real substance. The lies that we built these skyscraper world on has got to be restructured from the root.
That is
true. If we're going to survive. And
I think you have to rebuild, but I think you also have to admit what we built before can't be rebuilt in the same way. And if we don't learn from, if we don't change our thought, we're going to end up creating the same thing, because whatever we create is based on thought. And I think the faulty thought that we have is that human beings can operate in any other way other than harmony and create anything other than the mess we've made. So it can't be versus that group. We have to learn the higher consciousness of collective harmony, which means nobody can claim superiority over anybody, because everybody is part of the one system that operates the earth and the universe. And and it's not operated by human beings, you know, in bodily form. The system is too vast for that. So our intelligence has to transcend the incorrect belief systems we have allowed ourselves to be indoctrinated with, in order for us to correct the behavior that emanates from those mistaken beliefs. That's how I see it. But
we say the same thing.
So now there's one thought I want to throw out there, and tell me what you think. You know, when we speak about the history of racism in America and slavery in America, and I think one of our shows last week, one of the guests brought out the fact that Africans are very much willing participants in this international business because they were making money. So there was the greed factor that permeated that. And I know many times black people think, well, in order to teach what happened, you know, teach is kind of like, well, black folks are good, white folks bad. You know, and that's not really what happened. You had many people involved in this very ugly trade because of their own personal greed and a collective decision by their group, their nation, their tribe, or whatever, to do this to other human beings. When we teach what happened, and we have many, many, many families in various African countries that are wealthy from slave money, just like we have many American families that are wealthy from slave money. So can we teach what happened from a standpoint of those who made hurtful decisions toward their human brother and sister, whether they were white or black? They made hurtful decisions, and these people did this, and some were black, some were white, but all of them were misguided in participating in this very ugly mistreatment of their fellow beings. Is there a way to teach that and hold everybody responsible who participated and not make it one race over another? What are your thoughts on that?
Sure. Sure. We can. It could be done. Yeah, I mean, but the problem is getting people out of the mindset that they're in, and to recognize that the mindset that they're in is a major part of the problem that's affecting everything else. That we've been misled, and until we want the truth, until we're willing to accept that the truth will set us free, if we are willing to accept the truth and submit to follow it. And that's where the problem lies. Most people don't have the maturity of judgment, the discipline to break the habits that they have been locked into habitually from a lifestyle and a social orientation that tells them to take things the easy way, do things the easy way, that nobody matters but you, have it your way, this is just the way it is. We on top, and we're gonna stay on top, and we're gonna make sure we stay on top because we don't want the people who we've abused to get in a position to take revenge on us, to give us back what we gave them. That's another part of the problem, the fear of revenge and retaliation, the fear of the judgment of history that will condemn their behavior, will put them in a position to be judged and prosecuted for the evil that they have done, and to be made to pay restitution for the evils that they've done, and to make amends, atonements for those things. They don't want to do that. And so they would rather continue to lie. They'd rather continue to instigate conflict among people who don't have the discipline, who don't have the maturity of will to do anything other than what they are prodded to do, like cattle. You prod them, you send them, make some noise over here, they're going to run over that. That's the way the world is being run right now, because the masses of people are on a level of consciousness that don't afford them the discipline of the consciousness, the will to change. They just caught up in the emotional movement of it. Now, how is it going to change? My first priority is prayer. I think we have to be sincere in our devotion and our appeal to our Creator to help us. We have to be very sincere. And in being sincere in that, we have to respond to making some changes ourselves. We got to stop being so foolish. We got to stop being so fun oriented. We have to pray. We have to discipline ourselves. We have to do things like good deeds, charity. We have to do things like fast. We have to do things that will make a clear statement that we want our Creator to bless us. That's the best solution I can think of. I think God will help us if we help ourselves. We have to change. We have to get real. And I can't put it no simpler than that. This is what I think we have to do. We have to cut off the fantasy, cut off the BS, stop having so much fun, and get real, get serious. It's interesting, too, that the star Sirius is
yeah.
a part of the body of constellational symbols that ancient Kemetic people used. The star Sirius was very important to the whole dynamic that they had developed around the universe. The star Sirius.
You know, the Dogon people say they come from Sirius. Yes.
So the idea of being serious is a major focal point of the process that we have to go through to correct this problem. We have to get serious.
Well, we're going to take a break and come back and talk about what that seriousness looks like as we are joined by Zelda on the public transportation and listening to Dr. Willie Wilson try to convince those who have been making a sport out of crime to get serious and realize that they're devastating their communities. So hold on. We'll be right back after this quick break. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we'll come right to you and get your thoughts. And we'll be right back after this quick break, so stay with us.
We all say we would like to be wealthy, but wealth isn't determined by how much money you have. Wealth is determined by your power to define what money is. The dictionary defines money as something used as a way to pay for goods and services and to pay people for their work. So how would you like to have access to an unlimited source of money? Money that is not taxed by the government. Money that increases as you share the opportunity with others. Money that you can use to pay for goods and services and pay people for their work. I'm talking about Bitcoin. It's the future of independent wealth building. Bitcoin is the new money that you control. Get started building your wealth. Call 312-849-3456. That's 312-849-3456.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job? Relationship? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul. Whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
Hallelujah. Greetings
in the spirit of Wayo and Yah Shalom. Wayo means we are one. Yah is Hebrew sacred name for God, and Shalom means peace. I'm Eve Angel Mamadi Love Yah Nubian, and I'm inviting you to join me every fourth Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. Wisdom with Mamadi. Call in number 515-605-9325. Wisdom, women in support of daughters on motherhood preparation. And spiritually speaking, men who do the will of Yah are mothers too. As a Montessori educator, author, activist, international award-winning poet, and ordained minister, females, I want you to say farewell to all things, seen and unseen, that prevent your potential. You bring forth life and give birth to babies. A kid is an animal beast with four legs. A child is a human being person with two legs. Facts can change feelings, but feelings cannot change facts. A mother teaches love. Love is the arm that reaches out and holds people, places, and things together. That's what Wisdom with Mama D is about. Join me every fourth Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. Call in 515-605-9325 to share your wisdom and love souls into shape. Remember, mother's farewell. If you don't, your child won't. And if he doesn't, society is abused. Females, you are global transformers with the power to change this world. Use it.
Solution Global Radio TV Show, and we have been talking with Lionel Abdul-Haq of Community Cultivation about critical race theory, and we're looking at bringing in our host, Zelda Speaks, in just a moment. We've got a caller on the line. Lionel, if you'd like, we can take area code 706-202. To add to this conversation, Grand Rising, introduce yourself to our listening audience and give us your comments.
Greetings. Assalamu alaikum. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, brother. Peace with you.
Yes.
Yes, peace be out to y'all. I'm here in Hot Springs, Arkansas. This is Brother Kwame Sunhorse. And,
yes,
you know, Lionel, you've got an excellent point when you were talking about the Dogons and Sirius. But we even built in alignment with Sirius because the Pyramid of Giza is in alignment with the exact center of the earth. That every year in July 24th, it aligns with the Queen's Chamber, not the King's Chamber. It aligns and it sends its light down into that pyramid to activate that makes the Nile River rise. That's how perfected they had done with the alignment of Sirius. Because Sirius, if you spell Sirius backwards, it says sure is. It sure is to, the sureness is to be in alignment with what's above us. And our ancestors knew this. And so what we're doing right now in us being in this galaxy is that Sirius is the mother of the Milky Way, because there's Sirius A, B, and now they just found, we knew that there was C, which is the placenta that helps the Milky Way in its turn, because on July 1st, Sirius and the sun rises together simultaneously from the east, and begins this spiritual alignment. So what we're seeing is that as above, so below. The heavenly body is the human body, because when you look at the signs of the zodiac, Aries is the head and Pisces is the, and we've just had five planets that were simultaneously what's called a planet parade. And in that planet parade, we had Venus, Jupiter, Saturn, Mercury, and Mars. All of those were in perfect alignment. And so we were given the energy of an eclipse on the 30th of a new moon eclipse. That means a new reboot for the planet. And what you're speaking is this is what we need to be focused on, the reboot, because the change, the law of change says is that it begins within. Then you have to have a vision. Then you have to create a force. A force is a community. This was the first community on the planet. And what we're needing to do is get back to the wood wide web, which is the nature. It's all connected on the planet. She's all connected. We are disconnected. We are out of order. This is the challenge we're having in coming back to order and balancing ourselves with Mother Earth and Father Sky. And so we have to begin to look at how do we help the generations coming. This is what critical race theory is pushing on. It's pushing for us to be more disconnected by giving misinformation. So I commend you on your challenge to put the word out, because the word is the power. Because it says in there, Helios Biblios, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. So if we are using God's force in our words, how do we utilize it to its fullest potential?
Well, that's a good one. What do you think,
I believe it's a process that requires that we begin with being serious and sincere, and exercising some fundamental characteristics associated with growth. And that is, you know, you don't just take in, you give out. And the giving out is to affect human behavior, to affect human consciousness. And so we want to give in a way that triggers like something of like kind. You want kindness begets kindness. Faith begets faith. We can make a contact with each other on the basis of goodness, kindness, humanity, sincerity, the genuine desire to want to be of service is a mindset that is compatible with being human. And so the more we exercise those basic and fundamental characteristics in the name of whatever idea of creator we have, that creator will respond to us by elevating our and bringing us closer and elevating us to higher levels. So I believe it's a give and take process, a natural give and take process. If we know we're in trouble, we need to ask sincerely our Creator to bless us and to help us. And then we need to start to do the things that we really believe are fundamentally human, which is kindness, consideration, courtesy, cleanliness. You know, we've talked about the number, a lot of trash. The less humane we are, the less humane our society will be. So if we start to exercise that and do things that we know represent goodness for other people, don't do it for yourself, do it for others, and to help other people, to help our community, to join and to encourage people, that we can make a difference if we just do the things that we know are right for the sake of pleasing our Creator. Our Creator will please us. That's the only hope I see. I don't see it being separate from our relationship. I think our relationship with the Creator has been broken and severed by misinformation and willful, deliberate programming to make us less human, to make us more encouraged to be angry, to be violent, is based upon the examples that we see constantly where people are doing that. That's what they do. They react violently. So instead of continuing to perpetuate that same lie, let us put forward an example that we know will make a difference in people's lives. Just kindness, just being a kind, considerate person with others, being mindful of the effect of the trash in the neighborhood to the extent that if you don't do nothing but pick up one piece of paper, you have made an effort to please God, and maybe somebody saw you do that, and they will be encouraged to do the same thing. We have to. This is where it comes from. We have to do what we know is fundamentally right and humane and human and kind and considerate for others, and pray that God will magnify and expand that to other people. And if once it's the one, and I believe that once it starts, once it becomes a conscious effort on the part of more people, it will make a bigger difference. Even saying stop saying hello. We have to make a conscious. We've been so programmed into saying hello to each other that you have to make a conscious effort not to do it. And the more you make that conscious effort, the more you realize how deep that is. And every effort that you make to break that grip loosens that grip until that grip is gone. And now we can start to push forward. Instead of saying hello, we can say halo. We can encourage people to want to be angelic, to want to be seen as somebody who is a good person, who can be called upon and respond and will respond in that kind.
Can I comment on that?
That's the best hope. Yes, sir.
And that's an excellent point in how we greet each other and in seeing each other. When we say good morning, or that's a morning, or hello is a curse. But when you say grand rising, that you're acknowledging the grandness of the sun rising and you're rising with it. It reinforces our energy as what's going on above us. That's why I use that in saying grand rising, or even saying thank you. You're giving power to that one you, but it's an us. And we're united in spirit. And when we began to say, thank us, I love us, you know, put us in there, it's a unifying. That means there is no I and we. We are not separate. We are not separate from anything on the planet and in the universe. We're all connected, and we have to acknowledge our connectivity.
Well, that connection, I believe that connection is rooted in our relationship with our Creator. And the more we focus on submitting to our Creator and following the fundamental guidance that most religions have about how to discipline your soul, how to cultivate your soul, and to make you a better person and tighten and strengthen your grip with the Creator, your relationship with the Creator, it comes from exercising good deeds. It comes from exercising acts of worship. The more you do it, the stronger that connection gets. The more of us that do it, the more we are able to affect change.
Well, I'd like to ask a question. When we speak of affecting change, our young people have watched us appear to be clueless when it comes to knowing how to create an environment where they feel empowered and they feel that they can be respected. And we have, in many ways, allowed them to feel like victims, which is very disempowering. And someone posted something online a while back about our ancestors who were coming up from the farms in the South. They built their own homes. They grew their own food. They sewed their own clothes. They really were wealthy because they were empowered to take care of themselves in every phase of life. We, in turn, came up north, got shuffled into crowded apartment buildings, and were at the mercy of industries that closed on us and then left us jobless. And we didn't have the skills of how to build, how to grow, how to sew, how to create. And our children, feeling frustrated and powerless, turned to violence. And they've watched us not know what to do to give them that sense of empowerment that our ancestors had, the ones that we saw as poor and even backwards. So what steps should we be taking now? Not to point fingers of blame at anybody who mistreated us, but to empower ourselves to create the society that would give our children a sense of dignity and self-worth and empowerment so that they would not take that intelligence and that energy and turn it into self-destruction. What should we be doing?
I've already suggested the best that I could suggest. I mean, the example of humanity is what is missing in the world. We glorify people who either dominate with their intimidating power and keep people from even challenging them, or we set forward examples of people who just take and don't give. They just accumulate and mask a bunch of material wealth. And we glorify such people when they're taking in more than they're giving out, which is fundamentally against the law of nature. So we're glorifying the wrong people. We've put forward the images of people or ideas of people as being good that are not good. We have exalted the greedy over the generous. We've exalted the vain over the humble. We have exalted the arrogant over the sincere servant who wants to do goodwill, good deeds. And we have to correct that. And the television, the internet is now projecting so much foolishness that people have accepted the idea that the only thing that is worthwhile is to act like nothing is wrong. And so they are dancing, you know, they're doing all kind of dance, things that they can do and put it online just so they can get hits. It's fun. It's more fun. More and more fun. That's what they're putting out there. They need to be putting out examples of them cleaning up the neighborhood, doing good deeds, helping people. That's what we need more than anything else.
Well, hold that thought, Lionel. We're gonna go live with Zelda as she is observing Dr. Willie Wilson doing those good deeds and hoping to inspire others. We're gonna break, and then we'll be back with Zelda Speaks right on the CTA Red Line with our dear friend, Dr. Willie Wilson. We'll be back in a moment.
Around
What's going on?
Okay. Uh-oh. I'm going to have to cut one of these. All right. Wait a minute. We got some open windows open. Okay, now I'm just trying to. Okay. Uh-oh. Wait a minute. I don't know. Problem here.
Technical difficulties, huh?
Yeah, I got a little bit of a technical difficulty. Oh, wait, we moved the wrong one. Okay, here we go. Okay, and this one. Okay, let's see. We're going to All right. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
Okay. Well, we're going to see if we can bring in Zelda, who is at the. Let me see. She is at the ETA stop with let me see how we can do this here. Okay. All right. Now let's see if we can bring her in. She is with Dr. Willie Wilson, who is striving to inspire people to stop the criminal behavior. Let's see if we can bring her in.
You know, one of the things that's associated with this crime problem is apathy. The fact that one of the things that emboldens the criminals is the fact that most people are scared to do anything. They won't even speak up.
That is true.
And that encourages them. If people would start to speak up more and would stand together, that would stop a lot of that problems on the crime on the CTA. The fact that they know people will rather run. People would rather film what's going on than to do something to stop it. And that's a problem,
film
too.
Film it and as it's going on and not do anything to stop it.
And not even raise their voice to say, hey, you shouldn't be doing that.
Right. Well, and hold on.
Okay.
Let's see if we can bring in the sound. She's talking to riders on the CTA about how they feel about this continuous violence.
It's fun. It's fun to create that kind of chaos, to create that kind of fear. It gives you a sense of power when people break and run from you. You feel powerful. That you got people on the run. That's fun. That's a lot of fun to these kids. To have grown people running like little children out of fear. Like, you know, it's a very empowering thing. You know what I mean? For people who ain't had no power, they feel like King Kong.
Well, let's see. We She's got her on the screen here for those who are watching us on the Female Solution Global Radio TV show on Facebook. Now, let me see if I can pull up the sound from... All right, let's see here.
Well, this isn't working. Sister?
We're still trying to get the Lionel, can you hear me now?
I can hear you, yeah.
Okay, so this now we're still trying to get the sound on the video that we're playing online, so you can, we can hear. There are writers that are on the CTA, and let me see what we can do. Because what we're seeing are writers who are on the CTA, and Dr. Willie Wilson is addressing them. I'm trying to bring up the sound.
So
in the meantime, you can continue to tell us your thoughts about this.
I was saying about apathy. You know, that's where the indifference. You know, people just don't care. You know, wave your hand in the air like you just don't care has been a consistent programming of the young people. In their concerts and in their rap music, wave your hand in the air like you just don't care has been a psychological behavior modification. And we people have been programmed not to care about anything. You know, got T-shirts that say, don't ask me for blank, you know. People have been conditioned to be inhumane, and that is a big problem that we could solve simply by the examples of people doing otherwise. Think it would spread. I think it would catch on. We need to really get focused and serious about cultivating a healthy mindset and behavioral norm. Than what we have done so far. The programming of have it your way and nobody matters but you is the wrong programming for people to get. Wave your hand in your air like you don't care is not a good slogan for people to repeat at a concert while they waving their hand in the air. You know, it is behavior modification 101. It's standard. Brainwashing to get people to do that, and we didn't sound the alarm on that. And for more than 50 years now, people have been waving their hand in the air like they just don't care. And you wonder why people are so insistent.
I think we have the sound. No, we have to figure out how to make it echo.
I don't think this is gonna work. I mean, really.
Well, let me put to a commercial while I pull up her video.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
Well,
okay, let me see. So I believe we have okay. Now, can you hear? Okay, so Lionel, we're live with Zelda on the train. What we're seeing are the riders on the train, and we are seeing.
There's Zelda.
So one of the things that Dr. Wilson is hoping to do is to convince people to be more peaceful, more cooperative, and more involved when they see things happening.
Well, that sounds like Zelda's last.
Yes. So now, Lionel, you have spoken a lot about people having too much frivolity and not being serious.
But wouldn't you say that part of our culture and being able to survive a lot of the stress is the balance in us being able to also bring celebration?
Yeah, well, I mean, that, of course, you got you know, it's a give and take kind of a situation. But I think with the balance, on balance, we are far too heavily on the fun side and very weak on the serious side. You know, we're like little children. We are, everything is a joke. Everything is about play. Everything is about fun, fun, fun. And I think that's a big part of the problem. It's fun. It's fun to make people run from you, to be afraid of you. That's a sense. That's a power, empowering kind of a thing, and to be able to intimidate people, to make people bow down. I don't care how much money you got. If you're a punk, you're a punk. So that's part of the thing that's encouraging these young people, these gangbangers, is the fact that we got so many punks out here.
He said, what kind of things do you experience?
Drinking, smoking blood, smoking,
on the train.
One of the writers was talking about the things that happen on the CTA train, and the fact that they're smoking, they're getting high, you know. So there is basically no respect for the other passengers. One of the things that she was saying was that their train rides are basically, you know, I guess one big party. You know, you're on there, you're smoking, drinking, acting silly and all that. Some of the things what you were just saying is that there is a general disrespect of where would you say that attitude comes from, where you just kind of don't follow any cultural norms?
Well, the cultural norm is to be disrespectful. Respect is not something that's been a part of our cultural reality for quite some time. This is not new. This has been going on for some time now. It's only going to get worse until we do what we need to do as human beings to reflect a human character. We're not doing that. You know, part of being human is to stand up for what's right. And we don't do that. We don't stand up for what's right. We see things going wrong and we just run and go the other way. People have been cowed. People have not, lived up to their human potential and have actually been trying to escape their human reality. You know, they'd rather be a cartoon. Finding Nemo. It's an escapism mentality that wants us to not be human and not to take responsibility and not be unafraid to do what's right. that's been gone for quite some time. That's been a standard part of the program, and leave it up to somebody else. You need a superhero, Spider-Man, Superman, to come and save you because you're too weak to do it yourself. You don't have the heart. And believe me, it's more important for people to realize that being a punk will get you in more trouble than being a good person. If you would be willing to stand up, if more people would speak out and stand up, we wouldn't have these problems.
Okay, well, we're going to see if we can hear some more conversations of people explaining why they think there is a general lack of respect for people, for riders, for
There's no respect for life or the processes of life, the things that make life really worthwhile. You know, there's no respect.
Well, you know, in order for people to have respect for life, they have to have a respect for themselves. And if they don't respect
themselves, that ain't happening either.
Yeah, sometimes that's the case as well. You know, it's just not
it's all
there.
It's all part of the same program. The same cultural program is to disrespect fundamental human character. Anything that's fundamentally human has been thrown out the window. People have escaped the reality of what it is to be human in preference to be a thug, to be a materialist, you know, a capitalist. Money is the only thing that matters in people's minds. That's almighty. And when you make God the dollar, you're in big trouble.
Well, that is a large part of what has happened, and people have most definitely not taken seriously the situations that change their lives. So let's see if we can hear more conversation from the writers on the L as to why there's such extreme disrespect for life. Here's Dr. Willie Wilson and his staff riding the CTA, and we're live with Zelda Speaks on the Higher Learning Network.
But it is. But after, I guess we're going to get hit by the tides of
thanks for sharing.
Monday morning, they're riding the L's, and many riders are shaking Dr. Wilson's hand. And I guess his presence there is affecting the behavior because people are not acting out. And he's ridden a strip of the city.
I joined the team this morning to see
about 7:30. I had to get off the train and get 7:09 because a man, he used the bathroom on the train. Mm. Smell it. Randolph, Washington. But that was not a nice experience. And we haven't had these issues this morning on the train, but that was one of the issues that I incurred at 7:30 in the morning. That was not a nice experience. So,
I can't hear a word y'all saying.
Okay, so what she's speaking of is basically when she first got on the train, a man had urinated on the train, so she had to get off and get back on another train. And there's going to be a press conference today to talk about this. I believe that I think at 11 o'clock they're going to have a press conference at City Hall. And then talk about their experience on the train. You know, the thing is, so what has basically happened, you know, because the behavior has gotten so barbaric. I mean, you had like, you know, somebody urinating on the train, fights breaking out, smoking, weed. The atmosphere is just outrageous. So they started from the south side, where it's predominantly black, driving all the way up to the north side, and that's where the predominantly white community is. And there is a marked difference. You know, people in the black community that make riding the public transportation a nightmare because something, it's like something is snapped inside of them. So now Dr. Wilson's aide, who is his supporter, who also is Spanish speaking, is basically translating what he just said into Spanish and speaking of the fact that they are going to have a press conference to talk about this crisis. But so now they're heading toward the north side, where, you know, the majority of the white population lives. And the problem in Chicago is that you see a vast difference between behavior, between even the maintenance of the public transportation, between the south side where the blacks live and the north side where the whites live. And many people are believing that black people have something defective inside of them that makes them misbehave. And they're trying to figure out what is it. You know, why are they doing this? Why are they behaving so out of control and out of, you know, so disrespectfully to themselves and others?
Well, they've been disrespecting a lot themselves. I mean, people, if you've been abused, you tend to want to abuse others. If you've been disrespected, you tend to disrespect others. It ain't complicated. I mean, you ain't got to be no psychiatry major to understand why people do what they do. But what you're gonna do about it is the issue. And you know, the wealthy people have accumulated and massed up so much that they are not doing anything really with it to really help the situation. And if the more rich people would invest money into addressing these problems, we wouldn't have these problems. But they don't care. They actually create conditions that make these people feel disrespected. The disrespect that we have the disrespect that the powerful people have for the non-powerful people is enough reason for people to rebel and to want to say to hell with the whole thing. That's what they do. When people disrespect you, you tend to disrespect them.
Yes, that is it.
So it's like with Samson in the story of Samson. Samson brought the whole society down because of what they had done to him and to his people.
What they've done.
Next mayor of the city of Chicago.
Well, look, I'm gonna have to get to work.
Well, all right. We've got to go, and we want to thank all of you who listened in and called in and commented. Go to higherlearningnetwork.org on Facebook and see the crowd of Dr. Willie Wilson's staff and followers. And we are hoping that his ride today illuminated something to help us understand what we need to do as people. So that we can actually have a civilized society.
Wow.
Thank you so much.
Assalamu alaikum, sister.
For sharing your wisdom, and we'll see you again next month.
Inshallah, God willing.
Inshallah, we will see you next month. And for all those who listen in and join in, continue to shine your light.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe, India, Zanyaba, Japan, Arigato, Korea, Kamsamnida, Russia, Spasiba, Germany, Danke, Poland, Jeongkunyong, France, Merci, Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, jeret. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan, shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur, Saudi Arabia, Shukran, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you, and may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
had HF on Facebook and continue to watch Willie Wilson as he addresses riders on the CTA train. I'm 9 Latif. We'll see you tomorrow on Self-Care with Joey Susan.